All right, all right. Losing my religion. For those of you who have been here throughout the series, you know where we are. For the guests, you don't. So let me kind of bring you up to speed. Losing My Religion is a series that I started a few weeks ago. And I started it because I began to notice something, began to pray about something, and God kind of showed me something that I really think applies to everybody. I think one of the most dangerous, if not the most dangerous lie that Satan ever convinced humanity, ever convinced us as people, is that we are smarter than God. That God can say, hey, you know, here's a rule, here's a precept, and we can say, you know what, that sounds like a good idea and all, but I think I know better than you, and so I'm going to do things my own way. And see, so what's happened is when we read God's word or we hear about the Bible, we hear about the things of God, rather than taking what God says as a direct command from the creator and ruler of the galaxy, we kind of take it as, okay, that sounds good, but I have some ideas of my own. And that's how religion was born. Religion is our response to God. Religion is us saying to God, God, I know what you say is right. I know what you say we should do. But here's my counter offer. Because in my brain it makes sense because I'm smarter than you and I should be on equal footing with you and I should be able to discuss these things with you. So why can't I just do it? And so that's what we've been talking about for the entire series. We've been talking about the different things that we do to try to convince God that he should be fine with us on our terms. You know, we attend church regularly, and we think that's going to make a payment. Last week, we talked about how God says one thing, but we say we can be good enough to please God, so it should be fine. Some people think if you just pray enough times, God's going to be cool with you, and all that kind of stuff. But the problem, and what we've been talking about the entire series, is that even though those things work in our brains, and we think that sounds good, and that sounds healthy, and that's going to be a good idea, God's up there saying, nope, not how it works. Because even though it makes sense to you, and even though you have friends that tell you it makes sense, and even though you rationalize it in your head that my way is just as good as God's way, God ain't changing. So he's up there saying, that's nice and all, but no. And that's why I've been talking about the series, and that's why it's so scary to me, because religion creates this false sense of hope, this false sense of security, this false sense of, I know what I'm supposed to do, and it doesn't work, because Jesus is still in charge. And I ended last week by giving you kind of this little test. How do you know if you're trusting in religion? And the answer is basically, if you're trusting in anything to make you good with God and his name's not Jesus Christ, it's a religion. If you're trusting in your attendance to church to make you good with God, it's a religion. If you're trusting in your relationship with your spouse to make you good with God, it's a religion. If you're trusting in your ability to raise your kids to be good kids to make God happy with you, it's a religion. And today we're going to take a next step, talk about a new religion. Talk about one that's been around since the beginning of time. And this is one you're going to have to go with me on because you're not going to think it's a religion. In fact, most of you think this is a very good thing. And it in and of itself is a good thing. But when it's made into a religion, it's a very, very bad thing. Today we're going to talk about the religion of giving. The religion of giving. Let that sink in for a minute. The religion of giving. And you're like, whoa, 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 because you're smart people and you figured it out. Yes, that means I'm going to talk about money today in church. Which is why, if you've noticed, we've already taken the offering. I do that every time I talk about money. I take the offering up first so no one can walk out of here saying he was just trying to get my money. We've already taken up the offering. That'd be pretty stupid to take the offering up before I talked about money, right? If I really wanted your money, I would guilt, pass that basket. Right? We know how it works. But no. And even though I say that, some of you are still squirming. Some of you are still kind of freaked out because no matter what, people get funny when you talk about money. All right? I don't know why they do it. I don't know why you freak out about it so much. Actually, I do know why you freak out about it so much, and this might hurt a bit, but it's because money's an idol, and we don't like our idols to be messed with. We like to keep our idols safe. We like to keep them up here where they're clean and pretty. And if anybody tries to come and touch our idol, we get really upset. But that's why we have to deal with it. Because money, this idea of giving, we've turned it into a religion. And here's how it works. Here's how the religion of giving works, okay? Because still, a lot of you haven't bought into this idea that we can make giving a religion. Here's how it works. We use money to try to manipulate God into liking us more. We use money to try to get God to do what we want him to do. The same way we use money with everybody else in our life. And basically, if you give into this religion of giving, you give for three main reasons. You give out of guilt. We're all well aware of how to give out of guilt. You give out of gladness, or you give out of greed. Let me explain these. The first one, you give out of guilt. This is probably the most common. We give to God out of guilt. We give to God the same way we give to a homeless man on the street. Right? We didn't know the homeless man was there. We see him. We feel bad about it. We feel guilty about it because he's homeless and we're not. And so to alleviate that guilt, we reach in our pocket and we pull out our cash. And if it's like a 5 or a 10 or a 1, we'll give it to him. If it's a 20, that's too much. Come on. We know that's too much money. So we put that back in our pocket. But we'll give him a 5 or a 10, and then we feel better about ourselves. Whew, in fact, we feel pretty doggone good, don't we? Come on, you could be real with me today. You feel pretty good about it. You're like, dude, I hope somebody was watching that. I hope they saw Jesus in me there because I gave them that money, man. I hope I had my Wellspring shirt on, my band. Love Revolution! No. Now, the problem is we do the same thing in here on a Sunday morning. When I come out here and say, it's time to take our offering, and people are clapping. And so you're like, I should clap because everyone else is clapping. I don't know why we're clapping. And your heart starts beating faster because you start feeling guilty because you know the basket's going to come right past you and everybody's going to look at you to see if you put anything in. You hadn't planned on it. You hadn't thought about it. But as that basket comes, you go, oh, and it's just like the homeless man. You reach in your pocket and you pull out your cash. And you see, I got a 1, I got a 5, I got a 10, I got a 20. No, that's too much. That's too much. But I'll put a 5 or a 10 in there. And as that basket goes by, you drop it in. Whew. Oh, that was close. Whew. I feel better. God's got to be happy with me now because I put in $10. That's giving out of guilt. Some people give out of gladness. You don't feel guilty when that basket comes by. You view it like the check at a restaurant. If the service was good, if TJ was good, if I, let's be honest, didn't go too long, if you're going to get out on time, you'll throw us a tip. You'll throw us a tip. The same way you would tip a valet. Which, isn't that always an awkward interaction if you've ever had a friend who had like a party and they had a valet, if you've ever been to Ruth's Chris or something. I always hate valets. I try to just go park anyway because I don't like that awkward interaction with a stranger, as you've heard many times. But you do, you get the valet, and you never know, do I tip him on the front? Do I tip him on the back end? Nobody knows how much to tip a valet, right? There are no rules for that. And so what we do is we tell ourselves, well, everybody doesn't tip him anyway, so whatever I give this valet should make him happy. The sheer fact that I tipped him anything is good enough. And so that's what we do to God. When the basket passes, it was a good service. I'm going to put $20 in. I'm going to put $30 in. Because anything I give him is good enough. I'm giving him this money. It's my money. I'm tipping him with it. Now, you would never say you're tipping. That's what you're doing. And you drop it in and you think, man, I'm so awesome. I bet God didn't get any other cash like my cash today. That's how we give out of gladness. The third, we give out of greed. And you may be like, whoa, 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 how do you give out of greed? It's pretty simple.
Let's say you're a businessman, you have a big deal coming up. Let's say you're trying to close something, you're trying to buy a piece of land, trying to sell a house. Let's say, you know, you're trying to raise money for your kid's school. Anything you want some God juice on, anything you want some help with, right? If there's something we know we got coming up, we'll go to God. Like a wishing well or Santa Claus or my personal favorite, the Godfather. And we'll go to God and we'll say, God Corleone, I come to you on the day of your daughter's wedding and I make a request of you. And we'll try to buy God off. And don't act like you don't do it. Everybody's sitting there all funny. You do. You think it through in your head. You got something coming you want, so you think, I'll give a little extra this week. I'll drop 40 bucks in the plate instead of 20 because God's going to notice. And I'll buy God off. I'll buy some protection for him to come and help me do what I want to do. And God's become a mob boss. And he's trying to protect us and to make sure what we want is going to happen, happens well. That's what we do. Now, there are clearly many things wrong with those three areas, with giving out of guilt, giving out of gladness, or giving out of greed. But it's funny because they all really come down to the same three things. They all boil down to the fact that we as people make three assumptions about money, God, and our role in this world. We make three assumptions that all these are based on, the entire religion of giving is based on. Okay? Here are the three assumptions. Assumption number one. We think that we are on equal footing or higher with God. All right, that's been the assumption for the entire series. We think we're smarter than God. If you've ever disobeyed God once ever in life, it's because you thought you were smarter than him. My six-year-old this morning, I heard my wife say, don't ask Dad that question. I heard her asking. And this isn't a preacher talk. This is honestly it happened. He waited till she was out of the room. Because I was in the bathroom. He didn't know I heard him. I was fixing my hair because this takes a while. Takes a long time to look like it didn't take any time at all. He then proceeds to come in and ask me the question. And I said, buddy, didn't mommy tell you not to ask me that question? How'd you know?
Because I hear everything.
No. And I just asked him, and this just came to me. I just asked him. I was like, why'd you do that? Well, because I wanted to know. Well, I was like, didn't mommy tell you not to? Yes. I said, you think you're smarter than mommy, don't you? And he kind of looked at me. And I said, you wouldn't have asked. You thought mommy was wrong, and you knew better. And so you came to ask me. And he goes. He thought I was going to get spanked. And it's Sunday morning. I don't have time, so he didn't get spanked on Sundays. And so it was like, don't do that again. And, you know, we'll talk about it later. But we do. We think we're smarter than God. That's the assumption number one. Assumption number two, we believe it is our money and we're free to give it how we see fit. That's an assumption. We think it's our money. I'll get to that one in a minute. Assumption number three, we believe that God is impressed by how much money we give him. We think God is impressed by dollars. Now, what I want to do is I want to look at a story in the life of Jesus that's really going to help us kind of unpack this, and I'll go ahead and give you some hints. We're going to destroy these assumptions. The story we're going to look at, you may have heard before. You may not have understood it, but that's okay. It's in Mark 12. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark 12. That's where we're going to be. We're going to start in verse 41, and what we see here is Jesus was in the temple, which was the religious center of the day back then. That's where people would go to pray and to give to God and all that kind of stuff. At that time, they didn't know that you could have a personal relationship with God. because it wasn't possible yet, because Jesus hadn't died yet. Jesus made the temple unnecessary. But Jesus was there. He was preaching. He was teaching. He was there all the time. And I think he'd been preaching a little bit, kind of got tired, kind of needed to chill out a little bit. And so he decides to take a seat. And he just so happens to sit down right beside the box in the temple where you give your money. He wanted to check him out, some givers. He wanted to see what was going down. And so Jesus sits right down, right there, verse 41. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Talk about pressure. Even if you didn't believe in Jesus, by this time, you knew who he claimed to be. You knew there were people that followed him. You knew he had been performing miracles. You knew he had done some crazy stuff. And this guy who says, I'm God in the flesh, sits down right in front of the offering plate and basically says, bring it, big boy. Let's see what you got. And so, people started to give. And it wasn't like we can give today. They didn't have checks. They couldn't give with a credit card or a debit card. They couldn't go online and sign up. Didn't really even have cash. They had coins. And so if you wanted to give a lot of money, you had to bring in big bags of money. Which, wouldn't that be cool? Maybe we should try that sometime, just bring in big old bags of money. Anyway. Oh, somebody's going to blog about that. And so anyway, they had these big bags of coins that they'd bring in. And when you'd pour it into the plate, when you pour it into the box, I mean, it was metal coins. It would make, like, clang, 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 clang. It was like making a lot of noise, okay? And so everyone in the temple would know, ooh, you know, it's like a reverse jackpot in a casino where you hear it coming out. It's like, woohoo! The priests would like high-five each other. They'd be like, woohoo, we get to eat tonight. And so I don't know if these people were already on their way to give to the temple or if word spread, hey, Jesus is in the temple, let's go show off. But either way, something interesting happens. Many rich people put in large amounts. The rich folks started showing up because they wanted to show off for God. And so one by one, they come and they pour in their money. And Jesus, not interested. He's looking around because has his iPod out. Got the iPad playing Angry Birds. Peter, do you know how to beat this? I keep getting 2 stars. I need 3. Come on. Jesus isn't interested. He's bored. So the rich folks, they're like, dude, why isn't he? I'm giving a lot of money here. Why isn't he paying attention? And so they take their bags, and they started pouring a little slower. So it was like, clang, clang, clang. And he's still not noticing. So they raised the bag higher so it was louder. Clang, 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 clang. Nothing. Jesus isn't interested. He is not moved at all by all these dudes bringing all this coin. Then, watch this, verse 42. Then a poor widow came in and dropped in 2 small coins. So after all these rich folks, clang, 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 nothing. So they just leave dejected. They're like, man, that Jesus dude's a jerk. He didn't even pat me on the back for all that money I just gave. I'll take it back. This widow comes in. This poor widow. And she knows what's going on. She's heard all these people. She's heard all that. There's no way she didn't hear what was going on. But she comes in, and she's not really there for them. She's there to be obedient, to give back what God and what he's asked for. And the Bible says that she came and she dropped in 2 small coins. Those coins were called leptas, okay? They were the smallest coin that they had in the currency back then. Today, they'd be the equivalent of somewhere between a nickel and a quarter. We're going to round up. We're going to say it was a quarter. So she drops in 50 cents. Okay? And by this point, the box was probably pretty full, and there had been a lot of clank, 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 a lot of noise. She drops hers in, and I highly doubt it even made a sound. I bet you didn't even hear it, because they were really thin coins, hammered very thin. They were basically worthless. And she drops in these two coins, and she goes to leave. Goes about her business, all that kind of stuff. Jesus, still over there, just playing Angry Birds, and because he's God and he has supersonic hearing, in the midst of Angry Birds, he hears those two coins hit. And he looks up, and his jaw drops, because he can't believe what he just saw. And he calls his disciples over, and he says, did you guys see that? Did you see what just happened? And the disciples are like, dude, what are you talking about? And Jesus says, did you see what that widow just did? I cannot believe what just happened. That was amazing. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. Verse 43. Jesus called his disciples to him and he said this. He said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. He says, that lady just gave more than the rest of them. And Jesus' disciples probably said, dude, what have you been smoking? Did you have a little too much wine last night? Because you are out of your mind. Because we heard the clank, 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 clank. Then we heard, clank, 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 clank. It's a lot more than. And those of us in the room today still want to say, no, 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 no. Clank, 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 clank. It's a lot more than. How in the world could Jesus look at that and be moved by that when these rich men had come in and brought all this money? How could he be moved by what she did? And he tells us. Verse 44. This is so important. He says, for the rich people, they gave a tiny part of their surplus. But she, as poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. In other words, he says, those rich people, they just gave me extra. They gave out of their pockets. They gave the spare change they had. I was an afterthought to them. But her, she gave me everything she had. And we hear that, and be honest today, we hear that and we say, okay, yeah, there's a point to be made there, I guess. But it was still 50 cents. That's what we want to say. That's what I want to say. It was just 50 cents. These people gave a bunch of money and she only gave 50 cents. How on earth? Jesus, let's be real here. How can that move you? How can that make you think that she gave more than all these rich guys? You could do a lot with that money, dude. You could do a lot with that money. How can we say this? And what Jesus would look at me and say, and would look at you and say, would look at his disciples, and what he would say is, he'd say, you think that because you still don't understand how I view money. You think those rich people gave me their money. You think the money that you have to give is your money. And you feel that way because of the first assumption, because you think you're smarter than I am. Because, see, God's word has told us from the very beginning, and Jesus has been saying from the very beginning that it's not. Psalm 24:1 says this, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him. Jesus would say, dude, Dad and I have been telling you forever that it's not your money. You think it's your money because you think you're smarter than us, but we've been telling you from the very beginning, it's not your money. It's my money, is what God would say. All of it. Everything you've ever done in life, you've done because I let you do. The job you have because I gave it to you. The skills you have to do your job, you have because I gave it to you. You're able to do it because of the air I give you to breathe. The heart inside your chest that works, I created that and put it there. All of it. It's mine. So those coins that those dudes dropped in the basket, it was nothing because it was already mine anyway. Look at what King David says in 1 Chronicles 29. He says this. King David says this. He says, but who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Talking to God. Everything we have comes from you. And we give you only what you first gave us. See, that's how God views money. God views money as it ain't even your money. It's my money, so you can't give me anything. Which begs an interesting question. So how could Jesus say that the widow gave more? Doesn't make sense. We're kind of going back and forth. If it's all God's, how can we give it? Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. Let's keep going. See, God owns everything, okay? This is one of those losing my religion moments, okay? If you walk out of here not believing that, I'll say this with love in my heart, I can't help you. And I'm just going to ask you to keep coming back and keep letting God change your heart. Because it's as real as the fact that I'm standing on a stage. It's all God's. It is. It's all His. Okay? It all belongs to God. And since it's all His, He's not really interested in getting anything from you because it's already His. What He's interested in is giving something to you. He wants something for your life. Because here's the problem. Most of us, myself included, don't believe that it's all God's. We believe it's ours. We believe we worked for it. We earned it. And we believe that the more we have of it, the better people we are and the better we're going to feel. We believe that money is going to make us feel safe. It's going to make us feel secure. And so we begin to worship our money. We begin to do everything we can to make it happy. Remember I said at the top, it's an idol. If you were here last week, you remember Commandments 1 and 2, no God but God, no idols. See, God doesn't want us to trust our money. He wants us to trust Him. But He knows we're going to do it. And so, since that's the case, since God knows us so much, and since He decided, I'm still going to bless Him, I still want to give Him everything, I want to give Him all this stuff, I'm going to set up a protection for them. I'm going to set up something that will remind them that this is all mine, and that they need to focus and trust me and not their stuff. And so, what God has done from the very beginning of time is He had said, here's what I want you to do, okay? If you're a farmer, whatever it is that brings you income and all that kind of stuff, I want you every single week or whenever, I want you to bring me the first, best, nicest, the one that would give you the most money, the one that you would use to do everything you want to do, that first, best, top 10%, I want you to return it to me. And that means for us today, if you get paid weekly or biweekly or monthly, or on commission, however it is, when you get that check in the mail, when you get that check handed to you at work, when it hits your bank account, what the God of the universe, the commander of the galaxy, has commanded you to do is take the first 10% of whatever it is you made and bring it back to God and return it to Him. It's called a tithe. Tithe 10%. That's what we are commanded to do by the God of the universe. We are commanded to bring back 10% to Him. I'm going to do that through the church. Notice I did not say give 10%. I said bring it. When you borrow your neighbor's lawnmower, you don't give him a lawnmower back. You bring it back to him. When you give your kids money to go buy you a birthday present, they did not give you a present. They brought you a present you're probably going to return. You know you will. It's all God's. Now, see, if it were all God's, and He was really going to be like that, we could never give Him anything. But here's the cool, awesome, amazing thing about God. God blesses us. He gives it all to us. He says, hey, I want you to focus on me and not this stuff I've given you. I want you to worship the Creator, not the created. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Trust me enough. I'm going to provide everything you'll need. I got your back. But I want you to kind of remember that. So when you get it, bring back 10% to me so we'll be all good. But guess what? Once you bring back that 10% to him, in his brain, and this is insane, he's like, okay, yeah, I guess now it's their money. I still want them to listen to me. I still want them to honor me with it, but it's kind of cool. You can kind of do what you want with it. So see, after the 10%, if you bring back more to God, if you bring 11, 12, 13, well, guess what? Now it's a gift. Now you're giving to God something he didn't ask for. He didn't ask for that. So now with all that in mind, let's go back to the story. Okay? Let's go back and look at this. Because these rich guys who are coming and pouring in all this money, clank, 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 pouring it all in, Jesus tells us that money was out of their excess. It was their surplus. It was their extra. That means two things. That means, one, it wasn't their first. And two, it wasn't even 10%. It was something else. And I know what you're thinking. Yeah, but see, I make a lot of money. And, you know, I don't want to give that much money away because it's a lot. It's like a guy who makes $250,000 a year. Okay, some of you in the room do. $250,000 a year. You attend a church, you like it. So in December, your accountant says you need to make a charitable contribution. So you think to yourself, my church, I'm going to, you know, you're giving out of gladness. You're going to tip us. And you give us a big tip, all right? You write a check for $5,000. Me and Eric back there high-fiving. Yeah, man. We got $5,000. We could reach more people. We could do a mailer. This is awesome. And you're thinking to yourself, I'm awesome, man. Look what I did. And God's up there saying, you're about $20,000 short. And you're like, but dude, I just gave $5,000. You know how many people in this church give $5,000 at a time? Not many. And God's up there saying, see, you think it's about dollars. It's not about dollars. Now, I don't want you to get too wrapped up in the dollars, too wrapped up in the money, in the $250 to $5,000. That's not the deal. What I want you to hear, what I want you to get, what these rich people were struggling with, and what we struggle with when we do the religion of giving is this. It's our heart. It's always the heart when it comes to religion. It's always the heart behind the action. Because the heart behind the religion of giving says, God, I know what you've asked for, but I'm not going to do it. I've heard you. I know you've asked me to bring back 10%, but no. Not going to happen. This is my final offer. Take it or leave it. And I'm sorry to be harsh if you believe I'm being harsh. But that's what we do. This isn't between me and you, it's between you and God, but that's what we do. We say to God, sorry, don't care what you think. I know better. You should be happy with what I give you. Take it or leave it. And as we see from this story, Jesus left it. Jesus said, I'm not interested. And I guess one of my prayers today is you don't leave here deceived. Just leave here knowing. If you're practicing the religious of giving, Jesus says, no thank you. Not interested. See, then we have the widow. Woo-hoo, widow. Most scholars believe that she was asked to return one of the leptis, because that's the smallest coin imaginable. She was very poor. So most people think that one lepta was her tithe. And that's what she was bringing back to God. She dropped in too. Not only did she bring back to God what he asked for, she then gave him a gift out of her heart. And out of an abundance of all he had done for her, out of saying, thank you for taking care of me. I love you. Thank you. I trust you. Here is a gift back to you. I hope you find it pleasing. And it blew Jesus away because it showed her heart trusted God and not the idol of her stuff. The rich men wouldn't even return what God had asked for. And she brought more. Now, before you think this is a rich, poor thing, I need you to hear me. This isn't a rich, poor thing. There are tons of rich men of God I've known in my life. There are men of God in this church who faithfully bring back to God every week what He's asked for. They probably even give. So please don't leave here today me saying rich people are bad and poor people are awesome. That's not the point. This isn't a rich, poor problem. This is an obedience, disobedience problem. That's what it boils down to. It's I'm going to obey God or I'm not. I'm going to say He's the boss or He's not. And what I challenge you today is if you want to lose the religion of giving, if you've been sitting here thinking, yeah, I've kind of done this. And as your pastor who loves you deeply, I'm going to say, yes, many of you do this. And you know you do. Let's just be real about it. And what I encourage you to do today is ask God to give you the faith and obedience of the widow. Follow her example so that you can begin to shake the three assumptions we talked about at the beginning. Here they are again. Assumption number one, we think we are on equal footing or higher with God. We are not. We never will be. Get over it. He's God and we're not. Assumption number two, we believe it's our money and we're free to give it how we see fit. It's not our money. It's God's money. He blesses us with it. But because it's His, He gets to say how we should use it. Assumption number three, we believe that God is impressed by how much money we give Him. He is not. If you hear nothing else today, hear this. God doesn't measure our giving in dollars. He measures our giving in obedience. God doesn't measure our giving in dollars, but in obedience. God doesn't measure our giving in dollars, but in obedience. And until we accept that, we will continually find ourselves falling back into the religion of giving. So here's my question. Are you tipping God? Are you giving to Him out of guilt? You give Him because you want something? Let's just be real today. It's not working. It's never going to work because those are religions. It's not going to lead anywhere. But see, I believe God wants to do a work in your heart today. I believe it with all my heart. I believe each one of you are here, not by accident, but because God wanted to speak to you about this issue and to take you to the next level of your relationship with Him. I'm here to tell you personally right now, you will never experience more freedom and peace in your life than when you have given your finances back to God and placed them in his hands. I would rather have 90% of my stuff with God behind me than 100% without Him. Every single time. So I'm asking you to embrace these truths. God's God and I'm not. Embrace it. God is God and I'm not. Embrace this. Everything we have comes from Him. He commands us to bring back 10%. So I'm going to do it. There you go. It's not up for debate. It's what God commands. And as your pastor, it's my job to speak truth into your life, and that's what I'm doing. I tell you, we've already taken up the offering because I don't want you leaving here feeling guilty. I just want you to wrestle with this, and I want you to say, God, will you help me trust you with this area of my life? Will you teach me how to be obedient to you? Leave here knowing Jesus measures giving in obedience, not dollars. You know why? You know why? Because the dollars are already His. But you know what's not His? Your heart. And that's what He wants. And when you're obedient with your stuff, well, then He knows He has your heart. Because that's all He ever really wanted. But as long as you continue to say, God, I know more than you, I'm smarter than you, you're going to take it or leave it, He knows He doesn't have your heart. And your relationship with Him will never be where it should be. So here's what I do. I challenge you this week. Evaluate how you're giving to God. And hear me. If If you're not bringing back at least 10% of what God gives you, take the word giving out of your vocabulary. And that's okay, I'm not being mean. If you're not bringing back 10%, take giving out of your vocabulary and ask God to help you become a faithful bringer. And start bringing 10% back. If you say, I'm scared, bring 5%. And the next week, bring 6. And then the next week, bring 7. And then the next week, bring 8. By the time you get to 8, you're going to bring 10 because God's going to be blessing your life. And you're going to be like, I got to get me some more of this. So I better obey. Partial obedience is good. Full obedience is better. Ask God to help you become a faithful bringer of your first 10% back to Him. And then as God moves your heart from time to time, give. Give to the church. Give to those in need. Give to those around you. Give to whoever. Let God open generosity in your heart. But it'll never start. It'll never start until you lose the religion of giving, until you lose the idea you know more than God, until you lose the idea it's all your stuff, and you embrace the truth. Our God in heaven does not measure giving in dollars, but in obedience. I want to pray for you now. Heavenly Father, I just ask you to move in our hearts, convince us of these truths, and give us the faith and conviction to take this next step to become faithful bringers so that our heart will belong to you so that you can move through us to change the world. So in your name we pray. In 2 weeks, and without a doubt, it's the most important series we'll do all year. Everything we've done as a church since we moved in here at Easter has led to this series. Everything we've done this fall has led to this series. Everything we do every single week leads to this series. Because in 2 weeks, we're going to, for 4 weeks in a row, all we're going to do is do everything we can each week, every single message will be nothing but a gospel presentation aimed at your friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers, and maybe even some of you in the room, taking the step of giving your life to Jesus Christ, losing the ultimate religion of thinking you don't need Him. We did it last year. It was awesome. We're going to do it again this year. I thought about this summer when I thought about Big Church, that it's levels, it's layers. We've been trying to draw more people in, trying to get people here, and you can look around, they're here. And so now that we've brought people in, they've started to figure out who we are, they started to learn about us. Now it's time to see God change some lives. And so for those of us in the room that call Wellspring home, here's what I'm going to ask you to do with me over the next 6 weeks. I want you to help. You are just as vital in the success of the gospel as I am. And that's not preacher talk. I mean it. I can't do it without you. So what we're asking everybody to do is to help us share. You know what share is. If you've been on the internet ever, you see it everywhere you go, every article. Share this with somebody. On Facebook, share this. You can hashtag on Twitter, share this. So I want you to do, I want you to help us over the next 6 weeks, help Wellspring share the gospel. We want you to help us share. And so here's what we're asking you to do. Let me have some ushers to pass out. I've got some cards here that I want you to commit to doing some things for us as we hit this series. We've got some awesome little icons here. You can see it. We have the Facebook, the Twitter thing. We want you to like, tweet, invite. The first commitment here is I commit to invite my friends to the gospel. Okay? We want you to invite people to this thing like crazy. All right? We want you to tweet about it. If you're not on Twitter, this is the time. Get on Twitter, get some followers so you can tweet about the gospel. On Facebook, invite, share what we're doing. We always do a Facebook invite. Invite your friends. This also means walk across the street, knock on a door, give them a pie. It says, hey, come to Wellspring. If you come, I'll give you another pie. Make sure it's a good pie. If you don't make good pies, buy one. But I want you to join me. You have 2 weeks before we start, and then a 4-week series to invite your friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers to experience the gospel. We're not doing a mailer for this series, because if you did a mailer with the word of the gospel on it, no one would know what we're talking about. Okay? Which is why in your chairs you have invite cards, but they don't say the gospel. They're generic invite cards. They're just about our church. Use those cards to invite your friends. If you handed a card that says, here, come to the gospel, you might as well hand them a card that says, come get washed in the blood of Jesus. Like they wouldn't know what that meant. Use those cards, and if you need more, we got plenty. to invite your friends to be a part of that series. I tell you with all my heart, their lives will be changed. If you've ever heard me preach my message about the four men carrying the crippled man on a mat to Jesus, how they did whatever it took to get him to Jesus, this is the series to do whatever it takes to get your friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers here to Jesus. So that's number one. I want you to commit to invite your friends. Number two, I want you to commit to pray daily. That's that cool little hand icon. I want you to pray daily. And I mean that. I'm asking you to commit starting today through the end of this series to pray every single day that God will pour out his spirit and his favor on this place, that the people will come that need to come, that God will move in a way we've never experienced, and that we will see Myrtle Beach transformed through this series. If we ask and pray for that every day, is there anybody in this room that doubts what will happen? Because God's God and we're not, man. God wants that to happen more than we do, so let's pray about it. Third commitment. And if you read it, you're going to laugh. Third commitment, I want you to commit to being early for that series. Yeah, I'm talking to all of you. I want you to commit for that series to being here 10 minutes early. And here's why. It's not just because we want the room full when we start, but it's because we want the room full when we start. Here's the deal. You know who is early? You know who is on time? Guess. First time folks. The people we exist to reach. They're on time, Jack. They're early. They wander around. And I'm telling you right now, when that clock hits 10:00, because we start on time at Wellspring, because we respect your time, we respect the time of the people who are here. When it's 10:00 and that downbeat happens and TJ starts singing, there might be 15 people in this room. And it is weird. There's a guest today that wants to say amen, but they don't feel comfortable enough to say amen. So I'll say it for you. It feels weird. They look around and they think, what have I done? Am I at a cult? Why is nobody here? Is this place crazy? I knew I shouldn't have come. And then by 10:25, you're all here. But you know what? Unfortunately, for that guest, or let's say we're doing the gospel, and let's say we've got a wife who's convinced her husband to come, and he's going to give us one shot. He's giving us one shot. Well, guess what? 10 minutes of weirdness sitting in here with nobody else in the room, he's done. He ain't even listened to what I said. He pulled out his iPhone and started messing with his fantasy football team, getting ready for 1 o'clock. I'm telling you, it happens. So I'm asking you as your pastor, I'm begging you to do this for me. Change your clocks. Do whatever it takes. Just tell yourself, church starts at 9:45, not 10 o'clock. Your kids will like it more because they get to have the full experience. You'll enjoy it more because if you haven't noticed, TJ and the band, they're really, really good. And you guys have missed so much. There are sometimes we do these things called openers, which are awesome songs at the beginning of the service. 3/4 of you miss it. So if you want to really know, seriously, if you don't serve, how can I serve? Be here 10 minutes early. You're serving. You're giving back to God, I promise, because it was a sacrifice to be here. So I'm asking you to commit to arriving 10 minutes early every Sunday of the gospel. It ain't forever. It's 4 weeks. It's 4 weeks. My hope is after the 4 weeks, you're like, hey, this is good. I should be here early, but we'll see. So I want you to take this right now. Check these three and sign and date it if you'll do it. If you'll commit, say, yes, I'm going to invite my friends. I'm going to pray daily. And yes, I'm going to talk to my wife. I'm going to talk to my husband. I'm going to talk to my kids. Kids, talk to your parents. We're going to do whatever it takes to be here early. Something's important enough to you, you'll be on time, and you know that's true. So after you sign the date, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this with you. I'm not taking this card up. This card does me no good. I want you to take it. I want you to take it home. I want you to put it in your refrigerator, put it in your car dashboard, put it somewhere where you're going to see it every single day, where you'll be reminded to invite, you'll be invited to pray, and you'll be reminded to make it a priority to be here 10 minutes early so we can create the best atmosphere possible for those guests who are going to give us one shot. Don't we want their one shot to be the best we have? And here's the cool thing. I love you guys. I know you'll do it. I have no doubt you'll do it. God's going to use this, folks. He's going to use this to change the world. You're going to see share all over the place. We're going to be tweeting it. We're going to be doing that. I'm not kidding. If you ain't on Twitter, get on Twitter. Tweet up. Let me pray over you guys real quick. We're going to sing one more song together. I want to pray over you. As you prepare your hearts to do this, and you prepare to commit to taking these three commitments for the next 6 weeks to see God do a mighty thing in Myrtle Beach. Heavenly Father, I just pray for every person in this room right now. I pray over them. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit will follow them, give them the strength to take these steps, give them the conviction that it matters. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just give them the opportunities, give them divine appointments for the next 2 weeks to invite their friends to experience this. Give them the time every single day to pray about this, to ask your Holy Spirit to pour it out. And Father, I pray you make it so easy for them to be here early for the next 4 weeks that they never want to go back. And Father, we do all this for one reason, because we want to be obedient to you, we want to be humble to you, and we want to be used by you to change the world. It's in your name we pray.